The beginning of Lent, Father Eric and I started a series on hope. And just to take a step back for all of us, what an appropriate and God-given theme that is for right now. That we need hope in this time of the coronavirus and all the things that are happening. That literally the whole world has been turned upside down and doesn't know how to deal with all of this. So, my friends, let's continue on with our theme of hope. And before we get into this week's gospel and this week's readings, this fourth week of Lent, let's return to our last week. We kind of were cut off by having masses canceled in the archdiocese, not being able to really reflect together. But last week we had the woman at the well, and this wonderful dialogue of hope, where we recognize that in Jesus, we have hope in our moral failings. This woman who has failed in so many aspects of her life, specifically her married life. She's been married 5 times, and she's living with a man who is not her husband. But the Lord just says, if you're honest with me, I'll forgive your sins, and I'm going to draw you deeper. And one of the things I emphasized last week in my prayer and my homily was after Jesus kind of is gentle with this woman and revealing her sinfulness and her moral failings, he pivots and talks to this woman about prayer and worship. And he says specifically that the Father, Almighty God the Father, wants people to worship him in spirit and in truth. I used to think that that meant like doctrinal truth. And granted, it does. Correct doctrine leads to correct worship, fine. But in the context of that gospel, in the context of our dialogue with God in prayer, especially with hope, I think one of the ways in which we can worship God in spirit, the Holy Spirit, and in truth is in the truth of the authenticity of our lives, who we are, what we're feeling, experiencing right now. And we offer to God not what we think he wants to hear, but what we actually feel in our hearts. Not putting up this wall of, I'm just going to tell God what he wants to hear or present to him the best version of myself or whatever. No, I'm going to present to him my actual self, how I actually feel. And my friends, being a priest, being your associate pastor, and I want to do that for you and for myself just here today. What has been my prayer in the last week and last couple days? What has been my prayers of spirit and truth? I'll be honest with you, it has been a lot of pain and suffering and agony. There, so many things about this situation are so hard. And one of the big things for me, all right, we have the coronavirus here, and that is scary. And I am fearful at times about people's health and my own health and health of my family and friends, all of you out there. The Lord, you know, takes that fear, though, and he can take that fear away if I just lift all these things up to him. But one of the great burdens of my heart as we celebrate Mass, and celebrating Mass to a phone, to all of you, yes, but it's a very weird thing to celebrate Mass like this. And I'm sure you sitting there, all of you sitting at your homes, this is odd, difficult. I'll be honest, I have wept multiple times at the agony in my heart, and I know it's in your heart, that we can't come to Jesus. We cannot see him physically at Mass. And we cannot receive him into our bodies. We have to receive him spiritually, and there is a reality of that, absolutely. But there's a pain in not receiving him sacramentally. My friends, I feel your pain for this. It is an agony for me to go through this with you. It's hard. But I want to share with you one of the passages the Lord has shared with me. As I've told many of you, I pray with the Gospel of John quite often, especially chapters 13 through 17. And I was praying on it on Thursday, and I got to chapter 16 right at the end, and the words of Jesus leapt off the page to me. And it's as if our God knows all things, and he is able to speak to our hearts to give us comfort in times of difficulty. And this is what our Lord says in the Last Supper. It's as if Jesus is speaking right to us. And I think he is speaking right to us. So in chapter 16 of John's Gospel, verses 32 and 33, Jesus says this: "Behold, the hour is coming, and has now arrived, when each of you will be scattered to his own home, and you will leave me alone. But I am not alone, because the Father is with me. I have told you this, that you might have peace in me. In the world you will have trouble, but take courage, I have conquered the world." Just how amazing are those words for us right now? Jesus is speaking to our current situation. The hour is coming. He foresaw it and has now arrived, when each will be scattered to their own home and he will be left alone. But he's not alone, because the Father is with him. And he says this to us to give us peace. And I love it. The two words right at the end of that line can be such a source of hope for us. I say this to you, that you might have peace in me. I know it can seem like we are so distant from Jesus right now, but we, my brothers and sisters, my friends, all of us who are here, who are praying, we are the body of Christ. We are his body. We are in him. We worship him in spirit and in truth. And we are connected with him, even though we cannot come to the physical building of the church or sacramentally receive his body and blood. He says, "In the world, you will have trouble, but take courage. I have conquered the world." In your fuel for your prayer this week, today, just take one day at a time, today. Lift up your heart to the Lord in spirit and in truth. What is on your heart? Fear, anxiety, discouragement, isolation, whatever it might be, give that to Jesus. Lift it up to him in an honest dialogue. And what Jesus wants to do is to take all of those fears, those anxieties, take them to himself and give us in their place peace. They give us strength and courage to endure what we do not have the power to endure on our own. This is hope. This is the hope Jesus offers us. So now, going from worshiping the Father in spirit and in truth, and I want to turn to this week's gospel. So we turn once again to the Gospel of John, chapter 9. And right at the beginning, we have a line, a situation that should mirror back to us what we're going through, and maybe some of the questions in our own minds. So Jesus with his disciples passed by a man blind from birth. And his disciples stop Jesus and say, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents?" Let's flip this phrase around. They're asking, who is to blame for this natural evil? Last week, we have moral evil, right? The sin of this woman. And we receive hope how Jesus responds to the moral evil of sin, our choices. The disciples here look to natural evil. So the evil of blindness. We could say the evil of something like an earthquake or an illness, a pandemic. And his disciples ask, who is to blame? This man, parents, this country, this nation, this people, myself, who is to blame? Who is to blame for this natural evil? Look at how Jesus responds to this question. Jesus answered, "Neither he nor his parents sinned. It is so that the works of God might be made visible through him." Now we know, obviously, we have all sinned, as St. Paul says, and been deprived of the glory of God. But in the case of natural evil, Jesus sidesteps the question and says, I don't want you to focus on who to blame. I want you to focus on what God is going to do, the works of God that will be made visible in this time if you give it all to him. And then he continues on, while I am in the world, I am the light of the world. My friends, during this time of the pandemic, and when you're at home and you're with your families, and whatever difficulties you're going through that this natural evil has caused in your life, your family, friends, wherever you might be, the hope of this week, the hope of this time, is that the works of God might be made visible. So we need to continue giving all of our worship God in spirit and in truth, giving him exactly what we feel, what we're thinking, our hearts as they are, to allow him to transform them. This is our hope. But let's go a little deeper and to see, like, more practically, in light of today's reading, how God is going to do this for us. The thing that really stood out to me, and it stood out to me every time I've read this gospel since last year and reading it subsequently, is the messiness of this. So Jesus, after he says, I am the light of the world, he spits on the ground. Think about, like, this scene. He spits on the ground, takes up the spittle and the dirt, and then he makes a paste or a clay with his hands. And then I love the word that he used in the gospel, he smears it on the man's eyes. Oh, it's gross and it's uncomfortable. It's not what you expect. It's awkward and uncomfortable. All right. So Jesus, the works of God are going to be made visible through this blind man born blind, this natural evil. And the way Jesus does it is an uncomfortable way. It is unexpected and uncomfortable. Let's flip it back to ourselves. In the midst of this whole pandemic, the works of God will be made manifest in unusual, uncomfortable, unexpected ways. It will be the equivalent, the spiritual equivalent of spittle being made into a clay and something smeared on the eyes of our hearts, on our lives, and it is going to be uncomfortable and it is going to be difficult to handle. And yet, my friends, this is exactly what the Lord is going to do and what he's doing right now. We've lived through a week of this, just 1 week, and we know that it is uncomfortable and difficult. But then the story goes on, and I'm not going to go through all the details, and you can go back and explore them if you want. But this man this blind man has spittle and this clay on his eyes. He has choices to make throughout this gospel, throughout this scene, in order for him to have the complete transformation of his, not just his physical sight, but the sight of his heart, his faith. He has to make choice after choice after choice. The first choice is, Jesus tells him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which means sent. And it's interesting, the commentary I was reading on this, go wash, it refers back to 2 Kings, when we've heard this reading recently, when Naaman the Syrian goes to be healed of his leprosy. And he is asked to go into the water 7 times, go bathe in the Jordan. And he recoils, like, why would you ask me to do this? Shouldn't something grander happen? Shouldn't something more amazing, the man of God come out and wave his hand over me and God come down and heal me? Like, no, just obey and you will be healed. For this man, go wash your eyes in this pool and you will be healed. And the man obeys. And he is cured of his blindness, his physical blindness. But then the man goes on to have these several dialogues with the Pharisees, and he is attacked. He does not have this easy experience of proclaiming Jesus. And in a sense, his faith is fortified. His faith is grown and fortified at the same time by having to defend Jesus, even though he doesn't fully know who he is yet. He makes choices. And then we reach the end where, after he has kind of been beaten up almost emotionally and in just this difficult, uncomfortable situation, Jesus seeks him out and says, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" And just that seeking, I want to just let's go back also to last week and reflect on the fact that our God, Jesus Christ, is not a God who waits for us to come to him. He has been waiting for us, or he's the God who comes out to us to visit us. We often say in our prayer, "At last, God, you did something." But the reverse is true. Jesus says to us, like, "How long I have waited for you. How long I have been waiting to give you this gift. And I will seek you and come to you." That the thirst of God for your love encounters your thirst for love. Your desire for healing is nowhere near my desire to heal you. Your desire for comfort is nowhere near the desire of God to come in and give you his gifts. This is hope. This is the hope that we experience. This is the visible example of the works of God coming to this earth, that God's glory may be shown in natural evil. And for all of us still struggling with this, and this is going to take time, this is why we continue to pray. I just want to point us in the direction as we continue on with this Mass and receive Jesus spiritually into our hearts today. I also want to encourage us to do another prayer. And the prayer is the Rosary. My friends, if you have a rosary in your home, take it out and keep it around you always. You know, Mary, the one we honor, we don't worship Mary, we honor Mary. We ask for her prayers through the rosary. She is the one who points us to Jesus, the one who points us to him. And we take up the rosary to reflect on the mysteries of Christ's life. We have the four sets of mysteries that each make us reflect on the life of Jesus. And if we can't come to the physical building of the church, we can't come to Mass, I have seen in my own life that taking up the rosary, let's say I've experienced this in my drives in the car, that I feel like when I pray the rosary, I have a spiritual connection or line back to the tabernacle. That I feel spiritually connected through the rosary back to Jesus in the tabernacle. So take up the rosary and pray it. And we're going to post, we posted things online on our Facebook page about praying the rosary. We'll post other things as well. But if you don't know how to pray the rosary, learn it. If you do know how to pray the rosary, pray it. Mary is with us in this whole thing. She is Our Lady of Sorrows. She knows the sorrows of our heart. But I leave you with one more insight through my own prayer, my own, you know, worshiping God in spirit and in truth, asking for a hope in my own heart. My friends, I don't just want to survive right now. I want to grow. I want to become a saint, a great saint. I want all of you to become great saints. And what is one of the great qualities of being a great saint? It is joy. It is joy in Jesus. And we think about Philippians 4. Paul says, "Rejoice always." I say it again, rejoice. Paul commands us. It is a command. Rejoice always. I say it again, rejoice. And Paul is saying this in the midst of suffering. We need to be joyful. Saints are joyful in the midst of suffering. One of the the mysteries I have focused most on in the last couple months, and I return to it for joy in my own heart, are the first set of mysteries, the joyful mysteries. And one of the things I've noticed in those mysteries is that there is this progression of the first mystery, Mary, in a sense, being with Jesus in her womb alone. And then from there, in the other mysteries, there is a progression of unity and community and friendship that she experiences with Elizabeth, with Joseph and the shepherds, and then on and on. This is a message we need to hear, this message of joy. So take up the rosary, and I'll give you an image to pray with for the Annunciation, the first mystery. An image I received a couple weeks ago in my own prayer, in my retreat, was I always imagine myself often as a little child with Mary, like 2 years old, 3 years old. And after the angel Gabriel left Mary, Mary and I were sitting Indian style on the ground next to each other. Mary's in a white nightgown, very visual in my prayer. And Mary didn't say any words when I was praying with this, but she took her hand and she pointed to her womb. And I knew exactly what she meant when she pointed. As if she said, "Jesus is here." And then she went over to me. I'm sitting next to her, and she pointed to me, and she pointed to my heart. And she, as if to say, "Jesus is there." God is within us. Jesus is in our hearts. Jesus is here, is there within you. This is joy. This is the first joyful mystery, is the recognition that Jesus is within us. He is with his people to give his people peace and joy, and that he never, ever leaves us. I'm continuing to pray for you every single day. And please let's not forget that we are united in spirit and in truth with Jesus. We are his body. We are people gathered around him. My friends, let's continue to ask for that prayerful heart, to continue to pray the rosary, to pray the Mass, to really pray it, knowing that Jesus comes to us, that he dwells in our hearts. And as we continue on, let's remember that right now, the glories of God can be made manifest in this time of suffering, in this time of pain.